There are quite a few places in our region that can take your breath away. First time you catch sight of them, you gasp involuntarily. Crater Lake is often one of them. Waldo Lake, not far away in Oregon's South Cascades, can have a similar effect. Both lakes are now on track to receive Outstanding Resource Waters designation from the state of Oregon. It's a relatively recent program. To help us understand it, we'll go straight to the top of the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. Richard Whitman is the DEQ director and our guest on The Exchange. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the opportunity.
So let's talk about the Outstanding Resource Waters Program. Not been in use long. Tell us about the goals here.
The goals are to protect waterways in Oregon that have special or unique value, really of a statewide significance or even national significance. And Crater Lake certainly comes to mind as one of those types of places.
And there is just one body of water named up to this point, is that right?
That's correct. 2 years ago, the Environmental Quality Commission designated the North Fork of the Smith River, which is in the very southwestern corner of the state, as an outstanding resource water. And it did that based on the outstanding clarity of that river and a desire to protect that high-quality water for future generations.
So the designation obviously gets applied to fairly significant bodies of water, significant for perhaps a couple of different reasons. In the case of the North Fork Smith, for example, was there no other designation, state or federal, that protected those waters?
Not really. Portions of the federal lands in the area were designated as wilderness, but there was actually some discussion and some real exploration of potential mining activity in that particular watershed, and I think that was part of the motivation for looking at some additional protections to make sure that the water quality was maintained.
So what does that ORW designation confer upon a body of water? Does it specify things that can or can't be done?
It does add some additional protections in addition to whatever land management protections may be in place, whether that's a national park designation or a wilderness designation. Essentially, what it says is that there can't be any new discharge of polluted water into the water body. Again, mining is something that would be of particular concern in some of these less developed areas. But it also can restrict other increases in activities that could harm water quality in an area as well. So to take Waldo Lake as an example, Waldo has several developed campgrounds around the lake, and this would not affect those existing uses, but it could mean that there would be limitations on additional development around that lake, or Crater Lake for that matter.
So I think what I'm hearing is that the Outstanding Resource Waters designations says, in essence, what we got now is what we're going to keep. We're not going to get, nobody's going to get a permit, for example, for discharge. Nobody's going to be allowed to build in a way that would affect the quality of this water down the road.
You've got it. Yeah, that's it exactly.
So, Richard, Crater Lake in a national park would seem to have protection already. Why was it proposed for Outstanding Resource Waters designation?
Well, and it's a good question, and that's a question that some of the environmental quality commissioners had about Crater Lake and, frankly, Waldo Lake as well. And that question came up when North Fork of Smith River was considered as well. And what I said at that time kind of still goes. You know, if you're looking over a long period of time, generations, decisions about how land is managed can change. We've had just in the past few years, proposals to privatize national parks. There have been changes in how federal lands are managed in our country. And so having this designation for outstanding resource waters provides an additional level of protection for the waters specifically within those very special areas. This is not something that we're planning on doing throughout the state. It really is reserved for those very special places that are important to Oregonians.
Has a similar system been used in other states, or is Oregon breaking some trail here?
Well, that's kind of a mix. The Outstanding Resource Water program has not been used extensively on the west coast of the U.S., and Oregon really is breaking some ground on the west coast. It has been used more in the Midwest and to some degree in the eastern United States for some time. But these are some of the first designations on the West Coast of the U.S.
Okay. The more we talk, the more I understand. So essentially what you're saying is you can't count on the protections of land around these bodies of water to take care of the body of water. You're taking care of the body of water itself.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, just speaking about Crater Lake in particular, it has the wow factor that brings, last year brought over 750,000 people to Crater Lake National Park. But it is also a world of world importance as a scientific laboratory. There is more research at Crater Lake than almost any other lake in the world. And so having the values around the waters in the lake protected is important for visitation. It's also important for that science work to continue.
Richard Whitman's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the director of the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. We're talking about the designation of both Waldo Lake and Crater Lake as outstanding resource waters in Oregon. Questions, comments from you about this process, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to understand that the Waldo Lake proposal came from outside the DEQ, but it sounds like DEQ staff was what proposed adding Crater Lake to this designation?
Yeah, that's correct. We had a petition from the Northwest Environmental Defense Center for Waldo Lake that a set of students actually worked on for some time, putting together the proposal to the agency. And when we received it, people often compare the waters in Waldo to the waters in Crater Lake. And so the light bulb went on very quickly for us that, you know, if we're going to consider this for Waldo, we really should be considering it for Crater Lake as well.
That makes a lot of sense. And for the folks who are wondering, Waldo Lake is in the Cascades, north of Odell Lake, roughly east of Oak Ridge. And as you just mentioned, quite a glittering lake. And so both were approved at the EQC, the Environmental Quality Commission meeting in July?
Good question. And to be completely accurate here, what the commission approved was proceeding with a formal process to consider the designation. So they have not actually been made yet. That decision will need to be made following an additional public comment period. And then probably early next year sometime we'll come back to the commission for a final decision.
All right, let's take a call here. We have Mark in Redding, California on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Oregon DEQ Director Richard Whitman. Hi, Mark. Mark, you there? Is he up? Okay, Mark, don't hear you. Okay, I think Mark's question was about the effects not of humankind, but things like beavers and animals that can affect the ecosystem, and whether those are accounted for in the ORW designation.
Yeah, so this issue came up on the North Fork of the Smith also, and so there's specific language in the designation that accepts out anything that results from other than human causes, so beavers or frankly, effects of change in climate or anything like that would not be controlled by these designations.
So you mentioned a chance for the public to have input. Anything scheduled at this point as part of that public process?
The date for public comment hasn't been set yet, but it probably will be in the next couple of months, and there'll be probably a media release around that, and we'll make sure that everybody has an opportunity to weigh in. We did get over 2,000 comments already on the Waldo Lake petition, just on whether we should proceed with it or not, and so I think we'll probably see quite a few comments as we go forward.
Will this essentially be invisible to people who enjoy either lake? I mean, would anything change in the way that people currently enjoy Waldo Lake?
That would be a good result, as far as I'm concerned, if it is invisible. There won't really be anything that somebody visiting these places sees, but that's kind of the whole point of the program, is to continue what people see now on into the future.
Is there any additional expenditure of money from DEQ required to implement the outstanding resource waters designation?
there will be some cost to go through what is a rulemaking process here, but it's relatively modest. And in terms of future ongoing cost, we really don't expect to see cost associated with this. It's not as though there's a lot of proposed new activity in these places. If there are proposals for new activity in these places, then there would be some cost in terms of reviewing those to make sure that there are no impacts on water quality.
Has there been at least, a formal or informal discussion with the National Park Service about the Crater Lake designation?
There's been some informal discussion with the Park Service about Crater Lake. There's been more discussion with the U.S. Forest Service about Waldo. And this is one of the things that we need to do is spend some more time with the Park Service and make sure that we're all on the same page in terms of this designation and the Park Service's plans for the park. It's very clear that the Park Service is very committed to maintaining the quality of the experience at Crater Lake, so we're not expecting any conflicts there.
I had asked about the expenditures of money, and I do want to ask about money generally, because some issues at DEQ in recent years have pointed back to dollars allocated to the agency by the legislature. You're just about a month into a new biennium. How did the department make out in funding for this biennium compared to the last?
We had a good session with the Oregon legislature. We went into the last legislative session looking for funding to really restore some of our core capacity and core work around water quality and air quality and protecting Oregonians and the environment. And the legislature was very receptive to those asks. We didn't get everything we asked for, but we got a lot of it, and we work very closely with communities across the state in making that ask, and I think we really do see protecting Oregon's air and water as an effort not just by this agency but by a lot of other partners, and I think that resonated with the legislature.
So is there a percentage increase in the DEQ budget from last biennium?
Yeah, overall, we're looking at about a little bit over a 10% increase in DEQ's budget, which in this day and age is pretty good. You know, we're looking at flat to declining funding from the federal government for protecting air and water. So Oregon's stepping up to, protect those things that it really cares about.
Tight funds got the blame, for example, for a backlog of expired air pollution permits for industry. This was brought up in a Secretary of State audit report in January of 2018. How are things going with clearing out that backlog?
Things are going well. We got some additional staffing to work through that backlog a year ago, and so we have been making progress in bringing that down. We got quite a bit more funding in this session, so it'll take a little while to get those staff on board and get caught up, but we've made process changes internally to be more efficient, and we're bringing the backlog down slowly. We had a report back to the Secretary of State on how we're doing on implementing their recommendations. They came in and looked at that, and gave us a positive review on how we're doing on implementing what they asked us to do.
Richard Whitman, the director of the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We broadened out the focus just a bit, but we did start talking about outstanding resource waters designation for Crater Lake and Waldo Lake now in the implementation process before it goes back for final approval by the Environmental Quality Commission. Join us about all of the above on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Boris in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. A few years ago, the State Aviation Board proposed allowing seaplanes to land on Waldo Lake. We managed to prevent that, but I'm wondering if this designation would have stopped that and any other crazy idea that comes out of the blue.
All right, thanks for the call, Boris. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Boris. I remember that. The Department of Aviation was considering for a while whether to allow or ban float planes from landing on Waldo Lake. And there was a lot of controversy about that, and after quite a bit of back and forth, the aviation department decided to ban seaplanes from landing on Waldo Lake. This designation of outstanding resource waters would essentially prevent that from being considered, or a change in that policy from going into effect in the future. So that's exactly the sort of thing that this will help provide some certainty in terms of the level of protection.
So here again, if it's not happening now at the lakes or any body of water that receives this designation, it is not likely to happen in the future with the outstanding resource water designation.
Correct. That's right.
I wanted to go back to talk about the general things about things like the backlog of expired air pollution permits that the Secretary of State dinged you for in January of 2018. That was fairly early in your time at DEQ, and I just wonder, two years in, how things are feeling at an agency that, by its very nature, is often going to be in a position to generate frustration or disappointment.
Well, people care about their environment and they care about their health, as they should. So often the work that we do is controversial for one reason or another. I am very pleased with the progress that this department has made in the last few years in terms of efficiency, in terms of getting permits out the door, getting our inspections done, and making sure that we're protecting Oregonians and the environment. We've got a largely new leadership team in the agency in the last year. We've brought in some experts from other parts of the country to help us and work with us. And I think there's a real sense of momentum and pride in the work that the agency is doing keeps people going, and even in times when the work can be controversial.
We have an email here from Jessica in Medford who asks, why doesn't DEQ consider climate change human-caused?
We do consider climate change human-caused, but in terms of, I think the question is probably for the outstanding resource water designation, whether that designation, you know, triggers anything in terms of climate change. It doesn't, because there's no localized activity that's occurring within the area that's designated that results in climate change that we're seeing. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be working on climate change, and we are. As I think everybody knows, the Oregon legislature attempted to deal with that issue in the past session, and I think the governor expects that they will be dealing with it in the future.
For a cap-and-trade legislation, you mean?
Yes.
All right. This year, during the legislative session, we also got the Polluted by Money series from the Oregonian that drew lines from campaign contributions to Oregon legislators to constraints placed upon DEQ by legislators, which just raises a general question about the kinds of political thickets you have to navigate at the agency, which, again, is an agency that's always going to be in the middle of some controversy.
Yeah. I think, again, the agency takes great pride in dealing with our job in a straight-up fashion based on facts and science, and there always will be attempts to influence things politically, and we often have to listen politely to those attempts, but I'm very determined that this agency is science-based and making decisions based on what we've been told to do in terms of policy and applying the facts to those decisions.
And, of course, it gets into situations that run outside the boundaries of the state of Oregon. DEQ was quite outspoken about the announced federal move to scale back the Clean Power Plan introduced under the Obama administration. In that, you mentioned the Oregon Environmental Protection Act. How might that have a role in offsetting the Clean Power Plan rollback?
Well, the legislature passed this legislation in the last session known as the Oregon Environmental Protection Act. It was proposed by Governor Brown, and essentially what it does is it directs Department of Environmental Quality and also the Oregon Health Authority to monitor what the federal government is doing in terms of rollbacks around clean water and clean air. And if we see that there are rollbacks occurring at the federal level, then we are to make recommendations, not necessarily decisions, but recommendations to policymakers about how Oregon might offset some of those federal changes that are occurring. So on the Clean Power Plan, which deals with existing mainly coal plants. There's not a lot of direct effect in Oregon because Oregon's only coal plant in Boardman is shutting down next year anyway. But I'll give you another example, which is probably more important in terms of the climate, and that is the proposed rollback in efficiency standards for automobiles. And the federal government hasn't made a final decision on that, but we expect it soon. And that will have, if it occurs, a larger effect on greenhouse gas emissions in the nation than just about anything else that the federal government could do. So that's something we're watching. It plays into the legislature's decision-making around cap and trade, and we'll see what happens. But our role is to monitor and make recommendations when these federal changes occur.
Richard in Glendale didn't stay on the phone. He just dropped off the call to say that in terms of the outstanding resource waters, he appreciates the effort and supports the move. Thank you for that, Richard. And then finally, Richard Whitman, in the minute we have left, what are the initiatives at the top of your to-do list for the DEQ?
The things at the top of my to-do list are taking care, again, of our core work to work with businesses that have water discharges that are air discharges and make sure that that's occurring in a way that protects public health and protects our environment. That's really top of my list is getting our house in order in terms of that core work.
All right. Lots of work ahead at the DEQ. Richard Whitman's been the director for a couple of years now, and he's been talking to us about the agency's mission generally and the outstanding resource waters designation pending for Crater Lake and Waldo Lake. Thank you for your time today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Appreciate the opportunity.